I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to do some podcasting with you, so welcome in today. And we also have Burke and Rivka. How are you today, Burke?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Any exciting, we love talking about the weather here. Any exciting weather up your way?
Well, the weather here, I went out for a walk with Daphne this morning. It was 35 degrees, but not rainy, which is kind of perfect for putting some weight on your back and going for a walk. And yeah, that's nice. But we spent the week in Orlando where it was 70.
Yeah. Yeah. Which Aaliyah is in Orlando. That's cold for Orlando, right, Aaliyah?
I would say like 60s is cold. That's when people start breaking out the coats.
I think it was kind of 60s. There were definitely, at the hotel, you could tell the people who were from there. Mm-hmm. And because they're walking around in sweaters or puffy coats. And we're like in our bathing suits and swim covers and headed out to go swim at 11 in the morning. Yep. So.
Oh, yeah. No one would ever swim right now.
No, just all the people who were visiting from up north. That's who we were.
Yep. Exactly.
Our first visit to Disney World a long time ago when Aaliyah was little, we showed up the day we arrived when we were checking in at the hotel. We were checking in outdoors. The girl was in like a full on, you know, parka, like with the hood and everything, just freezing. It was 70 degrees. It was literally 100 degrees colder in Wisconsin when we checked in. It was minus 30. And we just yeah, laughed at her. So
yeah.
They love their heat in Orlando.
Well, the taxi driver that picked us up from the airport, I was just saying, like, it's so great. The weather's so beautiful here. And he was like, okay.
I love it. Well, that was Rivka. Rivka, how are you today?
It's early on a Saturday morning, but other than that, I'm great.
Yeah, we're making Rivka record early. One day she'll make us record late at night to balance
not
the scales.
Nice midnight recording. That'd be great.
It would be just you and Deanna recording at that hour.
Which honestly sounds like a party. Let's plan it.
Indeed. And in fact, that's kind of how this whole thing started. You and Deanna talking about the gospel at 12 or 1 in the morning, you know, out in our driveway. So,
yep. Oh, such good memories.
Indeed. Well, let's get started with our talk today. It is called Eternal Truth by Elder John C. Pinnegree Jr. of the 70. And he discusses how to recognize and obtain eternal truth and where it comes from. And really, that was, this is really two talks in one. You have the actual talk, and then you have the second and perhaps longer talk in the footnotes.
Oh my gosh, so yeah.
There were so many.
So many. And there was like paragraphs and paragraphs in each footnote. Like they weren't just like referencing one scripture. It was like a whole chunks of the talk.
Quote after quote. So I have mine printed out in a book, and the talk is 3.5 pages and the footnotes are 5.5 pages.
Wow. It really is longer. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, it's a great example of why we should read the talks after the fact. Even listening to them afterward is great, but reading them, you really get something extra.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with our fundamental doctrine. Aaliyah, what was your fundamental doctrine in this talk about eternal truth?
Before I say it, I'll have you know that as soon as you turned over like to the talk, I opened the tab on my computer and I had been signed out, so all of my highlights were gone. So while we're talking about the footnotes, I was frantically signing it because I was like, he's going to ask me first and I don't know which one it was. But I'm signed in. And
glad you recovered.
I know. It's there in red. So we
are professionals.
No, I really wish you hadn't made it in time. I really wish that you had been like, hold on, just a second. I got to get signed in.
Anyways, my fundamental doctrine is near the beginning of the talk, and I know because footnote number 2 of like 60-some is right after it. And he says, truth is absolute, fixed, and immutable. In other words, truth is eternal.
Awesome. Tell me about that. Why did you like it?
Because it's not like truth, the word truth and like what people think is truth can be kind of wishy-washy. People like to say that they can choose their truth and find their truth and et cetera, et cetera. But that means something different than truth with a capital T, which is eternal. Like it's something fixed from beyond our, you know, reaches of mortality.
Awesome. And so then our job is to go find that eternal capital T truth, right?
Mm-hmm. From eternal sources.
Indeed. And he spends the rest of the talk telling us how to do that. So we'll come to that, I'm sure. So let's go on to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Well, let us read some fundamental questions from a little bit before.
Knew it.
He says, what is truth and why is it important? How do we find truth? When we find truth, how can we share it? Great questions. And then I like that we have a whole talk on how to answer them, including copious footnotes.
Indeed. So many footnotes. Now, Burke, are there any of these questions that you spent time thinking about or pondering on before you went on to his answers that you wanted to talk about?
So the what is truth one, I think, comes up a lot philosophically. That one doesn't really bother me that much because I feel like as members of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a little bit better idea of what truth is and where it comes from. But the how do we find it part, and for me more, and how are we okay with it when we don't find it, I think is a little more important, and he kind of addresses both of those. So,
okay. Awesome. We will come to that as well. So next, let's go to Rivka. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
He says, our need to recognize truth has never been more important. Truth is critical for us to establish and strengthen our relationship with God and find peace and joy and reach our divine potential.
Awesome. What did you like about that quote?
I don't know, because I feel like when I read it, I was like, yes, our need to recognize truth has never been more important. And sometimes I feel like it's never been more difficult to sift through so much information, so many opinions, so many ideas to try to find the truth.
Right. So why has it never been more important? I feel like we get a lot of these superlatives where people say it's never been more important. It's never been harder. It's never been this, that, or the other. And maybe I'm always a little suspicious, like, okay, everyone feels that way about their time, right?
But yeah.
So why is it true about our time that it's never been more important?
Well, I think he says, like, our need to recognize truth has never been more important. And again, I think it's because we do live in a unique, I mean, I think you're right. Like, every period has their difficulties. Every period has their, you know, ideologies that are not in keeping with the gospel. But never before has the wealth of information been so prevalent, and have we had so much access to so many people's ideas. Everyone has a platform. Anyone can talk like they're an expert at something and have it sound reasonable. And there's not a whole lot of vetting that goes on. And, you know, I'm thinking of, there's a line in an Agatha Christie novel where she's kind of bemoaning. And this is like in the 1930s in Britain, you know, and she's bemoaning the fact that just anyone can move into your village these days, and they don't have to have a letter from someone that they used to know, and they could be anybody. Mm-hmm. And they joke about, you know, identity cards and ration books, because it was post-World War II era. But I think there was some truth to that. There used to be connections, or you would know, you know, they were a friend of a friend or something, but there's just none of that. Anyone can come in on your device in your house and say they're anybody and speak as though they're an expert at something with nothing to back it up other than just their ability to be charismatic and emote. And so it's difficult, especially when you have a question and you can find 25 different people saying 25 different things, all with what it feels like an equal level of authority and knowledge. So it's really, I think it's just the flood of information and opportunities that we have to sift through makes the need to be able to discern truth maybe greater. I don't know if it's greater, but it feels important to us.
Yeah, I was sort of being a little skeptical earlier. I think it is greater for all the reasons you described it. It's just we're at a time in history where information is more readily available than ever before in the history of the world. And so the need to be able to filter through all that and find the truth is greater than it ever has been. So,
yeah, because information isn't truth. Those two things aren't synonymous, but a lot of times we treat it that way.
Right. I remember reading about a phenomenon that Michael Crichton described. He's the guy who wrote Jurassic Park. He talked about how this was back in the newspaper age when you would get a dead tree, you know, a piece of paper delivered to your front door and you would open it up. Yeah, I know exactly. Says Gen Z. And he said, when you would read a newspaper article, you would just tend to accept what they were saying at, you know, face value. And then if you would read an article in the newspaper about an area where you have expertise, you would be like, oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. And then you'd go to the next article where you don't have expertise and be like, oh, that's really interesting. You know, just go back to accepting it at face value.
Yeah.
And that totally, I see that all the time. If I see something on Twitter or some other, you know, online source about the church or about radiology or something where I have some level of expertise, it's always so full of holes. You know, try to get an article about MRI scans and nobody has any understanding of what they're talking about. And these, you know, science writers, so to speak, they have no concept of the principles behind MRI. But then how can I accept all the other stuff they're saying? So yeah, it's so important to filter through that.
Yeah. And it gets more insidious when you have people when you have someone, like if you're worried about something, your child has a problem or something, you know, or you have a struggle you're going through and you're really looking for advice or an idea. And there are a lot of people who want money and are willing to be predatory for that sort of thing. So it's a minefield.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he asked these questions, you know, so Aaliyah talked about how truth is eternal. And then Rivka said it's never been more important to recognize that. And then Burke highlighted these questions. Well, so how do we find it? How do we share it? So let's go on to those. So Aaliyah, let's go back up and pick out a quote that was meaningful to you. And that could be from the talk or it could be from the footnotes.
Sweet. Well, about the question regarding how to share the truth, the section that really stood out the most to me in this talk was at the end when he's talking about teaching eternal truth. And he gives us some, he says invitations to help us teach the truth. And every single one has a footnote with at least one or two quotes that back it up, which is awesome. So let's see. I'll just kind of summarize each one. The number one is to center what you teach on the Godhead. Number two is to ground yourself in the scriptures or the living scriptures of the prophets. And number three is to teach doctrine that has been taught by multiple witnesses. So not just like some random one-off statement from someone 70 years ago that has never been discussed or backed up again, but something that has been consistently talked about. And then number four is to avoid speculation, personal opinions, or worldly ideas. And I feel like as a church, culturally, we don't do a great job at that one.
Give me an example of that.
I'm thinking when I go to church on Sunday and I show up in Relief Society or Gospel Doctrine or whatever it's called, Sunday school, a lot of the stuff that gets talked about is this kind of stuff. Speculation, personal opinions, worldly ideas. Not the majority, but there's definitely a hefty place for it culturally, I think. And people just like talking about it, you know?
So I don't want you to throw anyone under the bus, but I want like a concrete example.
Concrete example? Specific,
like something somebody said where you're like, okay, that's just speculation.
Regarding like more hot button topics, like more controversial type of things is where I see this the most.
Okay.
People just drift from like the core doctrine in an effort to support people who don't fully agree with or have faith in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And so how has all these principles, how have they impacted your teaching? You know, you served a mission, you recently taught at the MTC. So how does applying these principles work in your setting?
It works wonders because it takes some humility to teach just simple, plain truth and not what you want to say. But it really does work a lot better because we only really learn and change through the Spirit, and the Spirit backs up the plain and simple truth. So when I teach using these things, the people I teach are better off for it.
Okay, awesome. One of the things I love about the section, Aaliyah, is how he modeled what he was talking about, right? So he didn't just give his personal opinion. He gave a fundamental truth or a doctrine, and then he gave a quote from an apostle or prophet that backed up what he was saying. Almost like, you know, we do that in scientific literature too. You write something like, you know, this medicine does this effect. Well, you need some sort of citation to show, you know, that was tested somewhere. So he's doing that exact thing. Like, here's the truth, but it's not just coming out of my mouth. It's coming out of the words of the prophets. So I love that. Burke, you've taught many, many classes. How does this set of principles work in a gospel doctrine situation?
Well, one thing that I've tried to institute, especially in classes I teach with adults, I say, if you're going to make a comment in class, please have a reference for it. And so it tries to get away from that. I'm pretty sure a general authority said, I'm like, you have phones, you have computers. If you want to give that comment, look it up real quick and tell us where it came from. And then also I try, at least in preparing lessons, to make sure I only use materials that come from the church's website. And if it's something other than that, just make sure everyone knows where you're getting it from so that they can identify, you know, what is truth and what is not. And then sometimes as a teacher, you just have to say, you know what, I don't know the answer to that, and we're not going to spend any more time on it.
Right. So. Aaliyah, did you have something to add to that?
I was just going to say my mission president did the same have a reference for it idea. Anytime we were in some sort of council, like district council or mission leadership council, if we made a comment, we had to back it up with preaching gospel or a scripture.
So how does personal experience play into that, Burke? So what if somebody says, you know, I had this really great experience where I felt the Spirit or whatever. You can't have a reference for that.
Well, no, but it's great as long, but yeah, that is the reference, right? Because then everyone knows this is anecdotal evidence with an N of one. And so it doesn't mean that it's useless, but you then know where that's coming from, as opposed to someone really important who we should be listening to said this, and then they give a quote that's maybe not even said by that person or not accurate the way it's quoted, because that can definitely happen.
Or as Aaliyah sort of alluded to, they did say it, but it was one time 150 years ago in one talk, and you know, and nobody else has ever repeated it again. So it may not be doctrine. So
he addresses that in the footnotes.
Yes, he does. He goes on at length in the footnotes about that, actually. There's a lot of footnotes about that. So Okay, Burke, what other... So Aaliyah took us through that section about teaching eternal truth. So what else do you want to talk about here? He's got a lot of other sections.
Well, so clearly the next part that's going to resonate with me is, how about when God just doesn't tell us? Because I have far more questions than answered. And I like this, that we get a direct quote. This is from the Doctrine and Covenants, and it's to Joseph Smith from the Lord. And he says, "Hold your peace until I shall see fit to make all things known concerning the matter." And then to Emma Smith, also from Doctrine and Covenants, "Murmur not because of the things which thou hast not seen, for they are withheld from thee and from the world, which is wisdom in me in a time to come." And so this goes back to that, well, I guess I'll focus on faith and repentance. And once I master that, then I can get upset about not understanding all the doctrines. But yeah, I have lots of questions and I study and I pray. And sometimes I get answers and a lot of times I don't. And that's part of the test.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really relevant one. I think having access to so much information raises a lot of questions. And so knowing when it's okay not to receive an answer is really important. Did you read the footnote on that one, Burke? The footnote 31?
Yes. So this is a quote from Elder Orson F. Whitney. He says, "It is blessed to believe without seeing, since by the exercise of faith comes spiritual development, one of the great objects of man's earthly existence, while knowledge, by swallowing up faith, prevents its exercise, thus hindering that development. Knowledge is power, and all things are to be known in due season, but premature knowledge, knowing at the wrong time, is fatal both to progress and to happiness." Which is a really interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. I have that quote really stood out to me when I read through these footnotes. I had never read that before, or at least hadn't remembered it. And now I want to go read that whole talk that it came from. That was really interesting.
Yep.
Premature knowledge, knowing at the wrong time, is fatal to both progress and to happiness. Wow. Pretty strong statement.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about sharing truth and waiting for truth. Rivka, what do you want to talk about?
Under the section God reveals eternal truth, he says, "Let us discuss the distinct yet interconnected roles each participant plays in this process of God revealing truth." And there are four participants, well, four groups of participants. The first is God and his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, God is the source of eternal truth. And he and his son, Jesus Christ, have a perfect understanding of truth and always act in harmony with true principles and laws. The second is the Holy Ghost, who testifies of all truth. So you have the source and you have the intermediary who comes and testifies of all truth to us. And then the third is prophets who receive truth from God and share that truth with us. And then he says that comes from three different sources: the words of the prophets and scriptures, general conference, and other official channels. And then the fourth group is you and I. And he says, you and I play a crucial role in this process. God expects us to seek, recognize, and act on truth. And I really liked that. The way that he made that list, including us as the recipients and our job in it, as he talked about the receiving of gospel truth. So God is the source and the Holy Ghost is the communicator of that truth. And the prophets are another communicator of that truth. And then I love that he says that you and I have a critical and important role in God revealing truth, because somebody has to listen and do something with it.
Right. And if it's critical to no one else, it's critical to each of us individually, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So we might end up running a little long, but this talk was just so dense.
Yeah.
I think we should each go back through again. So Leah, let's go back up to you. What other section did you want to discuss here?
Well, first of all, what Rivka just described, he calls it a network of revelatory relationships. Mm. And I think that's really cool. I've never heard it talked about like that. So let's see. Well, here, kind of in the middle of the talk, he says, "Once the Holy Ghost confirms a specific truth to us, our understanding deepens as we put that principle into practice. over time, as we consistently live the principle, we gain assured knowledge of that truth. So we were talking about knowledge earlier and knowing at the wrong time. There's a lot of things that we can't know, but there's a lot of things that we can believe and act on and deepen our understanding until we know. So he gives the example of repentance, how he has received a witness of that principle because of his actions. Like, he has repented and therefore now he knows. And I have definitely seen this in my life. When I am unsure about something, if I just decide to do it, try it out, God says, prove me herewith, then it always ends up working out. And the truthfulness of the principle is always sound when you try and test it.
Awesome. So one of the ways we learn truth or receive truth is by just putting it into practice.
Yep.
Awesome. Not just hearing it or reading about it, but going out and living it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Let's go back to Burke. Burke, what else did you want to talk about from the talk?
This is a direct quote from the talk. When seeking truth, it helps to understand the difference between doctrine and policy. And then a little further down, he says, if we do not understand the difference, we risk becoming disillusioned when policies change and may even begin to question God's wisdom or the revelatory role of prophets. I don't want to belabor that too much, but policies have changed and will continue to change. The doctrine of God does not. So you need to know the difference.
Any specific policies that you can think of that have changed that maybe were a challenge to accept or maybe could be confused with doctrine?
I don't know that this is necessarily a challenge, but I think this is kind of a silly one, but makes a point. Guitars are not really spiritual instruments. I know, because when I grew up in the church, you could not play a guitar. But now you can, so clearly guitars are now spiritual instruments.
I love it.
Nailed it. That was awesome. Nailed it.
And there's people out there like, what difference could it possibly make? And the answer is, I don't know. And I think it's a change that was a long time in coming, and I welcome it. But at the same time, do I really want someone railing on an electric guitar in the sacrament meeting that I enjoy? Probably not. You know, so there's still some room for judgment there. But yeah.
Yeah.
I like that the policy is maybe a little more allowing now. So
indeed. This came up a lot at my last in my last ward. We had a lot of talented musicians who had a variety of instruments. And so there was a specific prohibition against brass instruments in the handbook. It gave you a tiny bit of wiggle room, but it mostly said no brass instruments in sacrament meeting. And then they just took it out, just flat removed it. Didn't say, you know, it's okay sometimes or whatever. It just wasn't in there anymore. And basically then everything goes up to the bishop's discretion. So, so then you have to use your own personal judgment and that there's that part that Rivka talked about you're a critical element of that revelatory process of like, well, here's what the policy is. The doctrine, you know, is that we all want to be edified together. So is the electric guitar or a trumpet going to edify us all together? Well, depends on the circumstance, right? So requires a higher and holier way for sure. So I'm here to tell you that the tuba can be edifying. So we had a young man who not only played the tuba in sacrament meeting beautifully, he recorded an entire CD, or I guess it was not a CD, I'm old, an album, a group of singles that he put together in one package of hymns on tuba, and it was beautiful. So yeah, it just depends on your discretion. Okay, sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent. So let's go back to Rivka. Rivka, what was, give us one last principle from this talk here that you wanted to discuss.
How we teach truth really matters, he says. And then he says, truth taught without love can cause feelings of judgment, discouragement, and loneliness It often leads to resentment and division, even conflict. On the other hand, love without truth is hollow and lacks the promise of growth. I thought both of those were really interesting statements, because they're both extremes that we can fall into. And then he says, both truth and love are essential for our spiritual development. Truth provides the doctrine, principles, and laws necessary to gain eternal life, while love engenders the motivation needed to embrace and act upon what is true. I just thought that was such a well-written part and a really important thing to consider, you know, when sometimes maybe our judgment makes us feel like we want to look at things with a little less love, or we fall into that sort of you do you trap of like, well, if you love them, you'll just let them do whatever. And neither of those things are edifying for anyone.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about this more in the next talk about parenting, but yeah, love without truth or guiding principles can just be permissiveness, and truth without love can just be harsh justice. So you got to combine all of that together to follow down the middle of the straight and narrow way there. So,
And as we all know, seeking balance is really an easy thing to do. So it should be no problem for any of us.
Totally. Yeah. We've never tipped one way or the other. Always never. Right down the center line.
Straight
always.
Down the middle.
All right, let's talk about invitations and promised blessings. Aaliyah, what did you find here?
Burke kind of already covered this, but he says, as we hold on, trusting God's wisdom and love, keeping his commandments and relying on what we do know, he helps us find peace until he reveals the truth of all things. Mm. Invitation, just keep going, because just keep swimming. Hold on, keep his commandments. And promise, we will have peace until we know all things.
Excellent. Was this the one that had a footnote from Elder Holland about waiting on the Lord and there's always hope? Oh, so
hope is
beautiful.
Never lost. Yeah.
Oh, such a good quote. Go read, everyone, go read all of these quotes. He collected
there's some just awesome
an insane
stuff.
Insane amount of beautiful quotes. So great. So the invitation is to wait, and the promise is peace while we're waiting for that truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Burke, what was your invitation and promise?
Well, so he has a numbered list in Teaching Eternal Truth, which are all invitations. For the sake of time, I'm not going to elucidate them all here, but they are fantastic. Go read that list. And I feel like it was interesting because I read that and I was like, well, where's the promise? I think the promise comes in the last paragraph of the talk. He says, we can eventually be perfected in him, obtain a fullness of joy, and receive all that the Father hath.
Awesome. Or an alternate promise is one day we can teach gospel doctrine as well as Burke.
Thank you.
Next, Rivka, what was your invitation and promise?
So he says, as we seek eternal truth, the following two questions can help us recognize whether a concept comes from God or from another source. So for me, the invitation is to use these two questions as you're seeking the truth from a, you know, or whether a source is truthful, or you're trying to seek the truth through various sources. And then I think the blessing is that it helps us figure this out. We can find out whether the concept comes from God or another source. And here are the two questions, which I think are fantastic questions. One, is the concept taught consistently in the scriptures and by living prophets? So even if your source is not a spiritual one or one from the church, is the concept that it's talking about something that is taught consistently in scriptures and by living prophets? And two, is the concept confirmed by the witness of the Holy Ghost? And we can all, as we read scriptures, we can pray to know whether or not they're true, but the same thing goes for anything else that we read or watch or take in. We can always pray to know whether or not the concepts being taught in it are true, and the Holy Ghost can testify of truth wherever it is, or warn of truth wherever it's not, even if it's maybe in a Sunday school class where someone starts talking about something that isn't true. which right. I've had that experience of. Yeah. So, yeah, I like those two questions.
Awesome. I love that, Rivka, because some of our favorite entertainment in our family, it contains gospel principles such as mm-hmm. The Lion King, Remember Who You Are, right? Cradle, Lord of the Rings, yeah. things like that have principles built into them. Maybe that's not their primary purpose or whatever, but yeah, we can see the concepts taught repeatedly by prophets about remembering who mm-hmm. you are, for example. So
yep.
I love that. Okay, well, that was a great talk. Very dense. Again, worth some individual study to go back and read not just the talk, but all those footnotes and really dive into it and ponder it. So I'd invite everyone to do that. The next talk we're going to discuss is Divine Parenting Lessons by Elder Valerie V. Cordon of the 70. And in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, Aliyah is going to tell you how.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.